This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Bring it up, Rick. Chris Abbott from Cool Bet Canada coming up in 20 minutes. Got a set for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Golf bets to close the show for the Wells Fargo Championship. But right now, we start the final hour of the show with the man who is definitely on the Mount Rushmore of our favorite guests on You Better You Bet. That is the great Matt Moore from the Action Network on Twitter at HP Basketball. You read his work on the Action Network. You listen to him on the Action Network podcast. And a hearty congratulations, Matt, to you and the entire team at the Action Network, selling for an obscene amount of money, obscene in a good way. So the Action Network clearly doing something right. Matt, one of our many friends that works over at the Action Network. So Matt, first off, a congratulations to you and all your coworkers. How you feeling? Great to have you back on You Better You Bet.
Hey guys, always love coming on. Thanks for the congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. And I know we're kind of entering a weird time of the year, obviously, these last couple of weeks with, like injuries and the reports every night are kind of crazy. And maybe people think betting it is kind of weird. Have you noticed anything about this, let's call it like the tank season or the time of year this is much different than any other period of this wacky season? These final couple of weeks and the last couple of weeks that we've seen, any observations kind of stand out to you about how betting has been different this time of year?
I mean, I think that it's a little bit more clear cut because we've got fewer teams that are openly out of it, right? Like the play-in has separated this out where the Pelicans still have incentives to keep playing. You've still got the Kings have a vague hope of making the playoffs. So it's provided enough incentive to where if you're not one of those teams like the Thunder, the Pistons, the Cavs, you don't have a whole lot of reason to stop competing. You've got more reason to keep playing, especially with the flattened lottery odds. So I think that we're seeing some of that. I think I said last week, one thing I've noticed is a lot of times these teams will be competitive in the first half, and then second half, it's like all of a sudden just something got unplugged and the entire thing falls apart. We've seen some of that, but look, we're still having the same kind of randomness where some nights these bad teams will still wind up getting wins. You have to be really on top of things, and I think betting live in a lot of situations might be better than going pregame, not knowing whether or not a team is going to show up or whether they're going to let one go.
Matt, what is your level of confidence come playoff time in Brooklyn Nets head coach Steve Nash?
Ooh, good question. I would say that my level of confidence is about 60%. So I think
out of 200?
Out of 100. See, I will tell you this. So I did a big article on Action. And one of the things I did was I said, look, let's forget about the stuff that makes you good in the regular season, because playoff basketball is entirely different. What are the Nets doing actually in these games? And the profile is really good. They don't run drop versus pick and roll a lot. They switch almost everything. They can play zone. You need tough shot makers. They obviously have those with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and James Harden when he comes back. You need three-point shooting. They've got that covered. So it's like, really, it comes down to can Nash be enough of a drag to limit what this team can be? And I don't think that that's going to be the case. He doesn't have to manage our super complex rotation. He doesn't have to find a whole lot of answers. He doesn't have to scheme up a whole bunch of X's and O's. The Nets are very obvious. Like, they're a very obvious team. It's we have three of the best players in basketball, and we're going to get enough stops so that they can outscore you. Like, there's nothing scientific about it. And sometimes there are coaches that can give you an edge in a playoff series, but most of the time you're looking for a coach that isn't going to hold you back. And I don't think Nash is going to hold them back.
Matt, kind of a similar question, honestly. You know, Nick and I ranked the Eastern Conference head coaches in the first hour. Just and the reason we did that was obviously the Bucks Nets two games that we've just seen and the two coaches that are involved. So Nick asked you about Steve Nash, Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer. I mean, the book on him has been regular season awesome, postseason less awesome. Have you seen anything, whether it was earlier this year or the two games against the Nets, to make you think maybe this guy is, you know, kind of figured it out, or that the Bucks can succeed maybe despite him?
I think that there's been real work done to make them into a better postseason team. So as part of that article I talked about, I looked at how much teams are running one type of defense versus multiple. The Bucks are running the lowest rate of the one type of scheme that they run as the last 3 years. So they've diversified a lot. If you read Eric Nehm's work over at The Athletic, he's done a lot of work profiling the different kind of stuff that they've done, both offensively and defensively. So I think Budenholzer has done what he needs to do. You know, Giannis guarding KD, like, that's what he's done the things that you want to see. I think that you just have to be a little skeptical. Like, you still have to be like, we're still going to have to see it, bud. Like, we're still, especially like if Miami gets the six, are you going to feel good about taking the Bucks in a 3-6 series versus the Heat? Like, I'm personally not, even though Miami is very limited offensively, not the same team as last year. This Bucks team with Drew Holiday is really good, and Giannis is a monster. I'm still going to be like, you're going to have to show me that you're not going to fall victim to the exact same things that happened last year. I'm very much still in a, you're going to have to show it to me with Mike Budenholzer.
I want to stay on the subject of some of these coaches in the Eastern Conference here, because we had a funny moment early on at the start of the show. We were ranking our Eastern Conference coaches, and I ranked Nate Bjorkgren eighth only because, like, we like his basketball X's and O's and his savvy, but then the report from Woj obviously yesterday that apparently everyone in the entire team hates Nate Bjorkgren, right? But it looks like we're going to see this team in the play-in tournament, and obviously they're playing games down the stretch of the season here. Is there anything to do with this, Matt? Is there a handicapping angle that you're looking at here as it concerns the Pacers, a team that apparently, like, absolutely despises his head coach right now in Nate Bjorkgren? And this is out of the 10 play-in teams. I don't know what I said, but apparently I said something erroneous there. Out of the
10 Eastern Conference teams. 10 Eastern Conference teams.
The 10 Eastern Conference play-in teams, correct.
Yeah.
So I think the big key here is, look, he came out today in this press conference and basically admitted he's had problems with communication. He's admitted he's made mistakes as a young head coach. The problem is, I think it's too late. I don't think you can get the demon back in the bag at this point. When you're at this point with an NBA team, it is very rare that you see a coach get the guys back to win a locker room back. When have you ever heard that, of a coach losing a locker room and then getting them back? Because if you remember, if you go back to January, the team was playing awesome. They were playing such a fun brand of basketball. They were really exciting to watch. It seemed like they really had something. And for whatever reason, like, that's faded over time. And I kept going, like, well, I guess it's the injuries. And now it really seems like it might just be the coach. So I think that they've got to be in a situation where it's fade or nothing with the Pacers, just because at this point, if you're already on the hot seat 1 year in and you've got small market ownership already debating a change, that means things are bad. So I think you've got to be considering fading them. I would not be looking at them for any odds to make the playoffs out of the play-in tournament. I think they're a fade only or pass at this point.
Matt, one other team in the East I want to make sure to ask you about, and that's the Washington Wizards. And not just because they played a lot better, but because it's kind of like market respect too, right? I mean, I know Chris Middleton's out tonight, but Wizards are going to be 3.5-point dogs at Milwaukee, like a team that, you know, we kind of expect to maybe reach the second round of the playoffs conference finals. I know fatigue is kind of a factor there too, but small number against kind of a contender. I think that's kind of interesting, even if the Wizards, you know, whether they have or have not been playing well. How do you have Washington looking going into the playoffs? And, you know, what are realistic expectations for what we can expect of them?
So, I mean, it's very likely they're going to face the Pacers in that play-in tournament. Raptors and Bulls a little bit too far out. They're likely to face them in that round one. And then say, so you look at 7 and 8, that's where I think it gets a lot tougher. I like Charlotte quite a bit, but the question is, you know, can the Wizards catch the right team at the worst moment? You know, if if the Heat or Celtics just absolutely bottom out, if you know, man, I hope not, but another injury hits one of those squads and they're just not able to get back up to full strength, can the Wizards kind of slip by them? I like the formula, what they've got going on. I think Scott Brooks has done an underrated job there just in terms of this roster really without Thomas Bryant. Like, everyone really overlooks that. Thomas Bryant is like a very good starting center and has been out the entire season. And missing him has been a very big deal. They've had to piece this roster together. And that's why Gafford is playing huge minutes here. And they're still kind of finding a way to compete and win key games that they need to. But overall, and especially in a playoff environment, I have a lot of questions. We've never seen Bradley Beal have to be the guy in one of those situations. It was Wall when it was with the Wizards. So I'd like to see what that looks like first. And I also just think, as good as they've been good in kind of sneaking around a lot of the spots that they've been in versus really coming out and taking down top teams when teams expected them to be good. So I'm still a little skeptical of the Wizards, but you have to respect the job they've done getting back in the fight.
You better, you bet. BetQL Audio Network, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley chatting NBA with the great Matt Moore from the Action Network on Twitter at HP Basketball. Matt, what's the level of concern right now with the Los Angeles Lakers?
Pretty high. I mean, I did a whole story that was basically like, you're not going to get a better number than what it's at right now. And then, yeah, you can get a better number today. That's what you can do. You can definitely get a better number today. And look, I took some on the Lakers today. I took some on the Lakers and the Clippers today just because I feel like if you're going to give me that number, because you can get plus four or higher at some books. If you're going to give me a plus four number, okay, I will take the Lakers, the defending champion. But this tiebreaker situation, Friday is massive. They play the Blazers Friday. If they lose that game, Portland wins tiebreaker. That increases the chances of the Lakers falling into the play-in tournament a lot more. And there's a pretty decent chance they face Memphis in the first round of a play-in. And you're like, okay, I feel pretty good about that. There's also a not terrible chance they face Steph Curry and the Warriors in that first one. And if you've got Lakers futures, that's just absolutely got to put the fear of God in you. So yeah, like this is a concerning point. They, you know, Anthony Davis acting like he pulled off some sort of Titanic miracle comeback. We're back, baby, after beating the Nuggets without Jamal Murray and three other guards was certainly something. But LeBron should come back. The news about his ankle is worrisome. I still think they're probably going to get it together. But my concern has never been higher for the Lakers.
Matt, top of the Western Conference, so Utah, Phoenix, Clippers, I feel like these are the teams we've been talking about all year. These are the teams we've said a lot of positive things about. They've been playing very well recently. Utah's had some injury stuff, but I'm just kind of curious, if we group those three teams together, they've basically been 1-2-3 for about 2 months now. Have you seen anything in their play, let's say the last 2 to 3 weeks, where you're either kind of encouraged or discouraged by them, or do you kind of feel the same way about them you felt all along?
I mean, I think I'm more encouraged by Phoenix just because they haven't really had a massive change. The fact that they've been without Crowder, Saric just came back and they managed to maintain. One of the good things about Phoenix, that was something else I wrote about in that piece, was you want replacement depth. You don't want to be able to roll out an all-bench lineup in the playoffs. That's madness. What you want to do is, if somebody gets hurt, can you replace what they do? And there's only two guys on that team, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, that really you can't replace. And even Booker, you know, you can get some scoring from other guys and you can probably fill in some spots. They have a lot of versatility in their lineup and how they can play. And that, I think, is really good. I'm higher on Phoenix than ever. I still can't get myself to take a position on them in the Western Conference to win it. But I do think that they're going to be a real problem. One thing with both Utah and Phoenix and the Clippers, honestly, the Clippers are almost definitely not going to have to face Denver. But any team that has to face Denver, I'm going to be a little worried about. Denver matches up so well with Utah. They match up so well with Phoenix, even without Murray. Even they're going to be such big underdogs, I just feel like the Nuggets are still going to be so dangerous in these situations, even without Murray.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Matt, last question. We have a couple minutes left. Every time we have you on, one of the staples of our conversations and one of the things I enjoy the most, honestly, about you coming on is these extremely obscure quarter bets that you always seem to throw out to us, right? So it's been fade Denver in the third. It's been just very team specific. You mentioned a lot of teams' second quarter bets, which I always think is like a very bizarre one. Like, yeah, when the bad players come in, that's what I'm really interested in betting this team. Any quarter, we have about 10 days left in the regular season, something like that. Any quarter bets that you've been playing on that you've been good on recently?
Portland had a little bit of a bump, but came back down to earth versus the Hawks the other night, second quarter. So I'm on the Cavs again, +3 in the second quarter tonight. The other one that I actually like quite a bit is Atlanta in the first quarter. They've been really lights out. Phoenix, I think, is tired and getting a little worn down. I like that spot. And, of course, if we're talking small micro bets, it's the New York Knicks first half, money line versus the Nuggets. I like that one the best of all bets tonight.
Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Denver Broncos. How concerned are you for your Kansas City Chiefs?
Not great. I'm more annoyed because they keep not having good teams. Everyone overrates, and then getting the franchise Hall of Fame quarterback, that's pretty annoying if you're a Chiefs fan. But honestly, at this point, I've three AFC championship games in a row, two AFC championships, one Super Bowl. I don't really have any other choice than say, bring it, A-Rod. Let's go. Bring it on, Rodgers.
That's a good man right there. That's our buddy Matt Moore. Hit him up on Twitter at HP Basketball. Check out all his work, actionnetwork.com, the Action Network podcast, and the Action Network app. Matt, be good. Stay well. We look forward to talking to you soon here on You Better You Bet.
Talk soon, guys.
That is the great Matt Moore with us here on the show. Raining in the Bronx right now. They're through half an inning. I feel like this game may get delayed, the Yankees-Astros here, which is kind of a bummer.
That'd be unfortunate. As
a precursor to our buddy Chris Abbott coming on the next segment. So I know we talked yesterday on the show about the Tom Wilson body slamming Artemi Panarin of the Rangers. The Rangers releasing like a statement like killing the NHL. Then the Rangers today firing the general manager, John Davidson, and a massive fight 1 second into the game in Madison Square Garden right now between the Rangers and the Capitals. I'm actually going to turn that on here. I'm watching Dusty Baker in the rain. Watching hockey players fight. So I'm going to turn
Dusty
that on.
Dusty in the rain. Right. Yeah, let's just watch. Why watch that when you can watch brutal violence? Right.
Love me some brutal violence. We'll talk about some brutal violence coming up next. Chris Abbott, Cool Bet Canada, talking NHL, Stanley Cup playoffs on You Better You Bet.